Today's Bible reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're continuing our series, Building Long-Term Relationships. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, Silas and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not with simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescued us from the coming wrath. I was reading an article online. That won't surprise any of you, because I probably read way too many articles online. But then if I didn't, I wouldn't come across interesting ones like this one, which was referred to a 75-year-old study, long study that had been conducted at Harvard University. And I'm sure you keep up with all of the latest Harvard research, but this is one, a longitudinal study that has been going for 75 years. So it started back in the 40s or something like that. And they picked a cohort of poor young adult males and another cohort of Harvard students. They're all males, sorry women, and I know the findings are probably skewed as a result of that. But then so generations of researchers have been following the lives of these people for over 75 years, regularly interviewing them, regularly doing blood tests and scans and all these sorts of other things to track the course of their lives. And they've looked at all that research and they synthesized it all down, and they came to the one key for leading a fulfilling life. The clearest, and I'm quoting from an article here, it says, the clearest message that we get from this 75-year study is that good relationships keep us happier and healthier. Period. You will notice that they deliberately chose cohorts that were rich and were poor, educated and uneducated. And it was, the finding was consistent across all of them. If you want to lead a happier and healthier life, the key for you in that is not how much money you have in your bank balance, but how many good relationships you have in your life. Basically, you need to do two things. There's two foundational elements to this, the research said. One is love. You need to be in relationships that are loving. Not just romantic loving relationships, but loving relationships. And the other thing is finding a way of coping with life that does not push love away. When difficulties come, when traumas come, when accidents come, when suffering comes, that you find ways of coping with life that doesn't push love away. And so you'll be glad to know that we're going to be looking at something that will help us, A, keep and maintain long-term relationships, long-term loving relationships, and they'll also give us an insight into ways, a way that will help us not push love away, so that you and I can have a better shot at actually creating long-term relationships. And here's the key that we need to be aware of and that we need to make sure we have in our lives. The key to good long-term relationships is List management. Now, I know many of you, like Edwin, will be thinking, as soon as I mention the word list management, he's thinking, I don't know that Carlton Football Club has done a very good job of doing list management. On the other hand, they did play well yesterday, except for the last 10 minutes. But that's a big part of football clubs, isn't it? And I'm sorry to bring up like another sporting analogy on a Mother's Day in particular, I know. But you know, and that idea of list management is actually not the idea of list management that we're talking about, because that's like, oh yeah, we've got to cull that person's not playing anymore, so we've got to get rid of them, right? That's a very harsh and pragmatic and performance-related, outcome-measured way of managing relationships with people in football clubs. And that's, you'll be relieved to know, is not what I'm suggesting you need to do. Don't go out hiring a list manager to deal with all of the relationships in your life. You know, to do an end-of-season exit interview on all of the relationships. I'm not saying that at all. But the second thing that might have come to mind is, I know there's people in my life that love lists. I hate lists. And I reckon you're either a lover of lists or a hater of lists. Well, and like I know the value of lists. And like sometimes I'll have like a spurt of enthusiasm and I'll create lots of lists and I'll even follow them for a week or two or not ever, really. But others, like my daughter-in-law, Larissa, she loves lists. She loves spreadsheet lists. She loves detailed, colour-coded spreadsheet lists. And I'm so thankful for people like that. But this is not the sort of lists either that I'm talking about. I'm talking about a different sort of list. I'm talking about the sorts of lists that aren't about managing relationships, and I'm not talking about the sort of lists that are about to-do lists and making sure that everything gets done as good as those might be in life. I'm talking about the sort of lists that we all keep, whether we're young or old, organised or disorganised, detailed or big picture. We all keep these sorts of lists. And it's not lists that we even sometimes are aware of keeping. But they're lists that you and I have. And there's two sorts of lists that I want to talk about this morning. And I've made some props, because that's the sort of guy I am. You know, and also, like, I made them like scrolls, because like the Bible was written on scrolls, and so it's like an old prop, you know, but it's not actually an old scroll, it's a bit of electrical conduit with some butcher's paper, you know. But each of us, we create lists, and we have them, and some lists are like this. They're relatively short. And other lists are like this. They're really, really long. And they're lists that you and I make. They're lists that we add to sometimes daily. And they are lists that we can recall with remarkable accuracy. Even if you can forget lots of other things, you will find particularly the long list an almost superhuman ability to recall the things that are on that long list. And that is, in the context of a particular relationship, with a family member, a spouse, a child, a friend, or whatever else, this long list that you and I unconsciously, automatically keep and extend and keep extending is a list of grievances. And you want to know how I know that you can recall that list in a superhuman way? Well, just think about the last time you were in an argument with your close friend, with your spouse, with your mother, with whoever it is that you're talking about this long-term relationship. And think about the last time you had a disagreement, the last time they did something wrong. Now, tell me if it's not true, but tell me that you, I know for me, and so I'm guessing it's the same for you, is that not only could you remember that one thing that they did wrong, but many, many other things that they have also done wrong. Is that right? And you could probably detail them. Remember 5 years ago? Remember 15 years ago when you did that? Remember 20 years ago when you... I mean, it's unbelievable that we have this capacity to remember and to bring up again our list of grievances. And it's often these lists of grievances that can end up killing long-term relationships. You know, in and of themselves, the individual grievances may be nothing too much to handle, but when we add them all up and when we get to a crisis point and we just go back and we remember them all, it just becomes so overwhelming and we think, I thought this was a good relationship, but it doesn't appear to be that anymore. Now, sometimes in relationships, really bad things happen and they can cause the end of those relationships. And that's sad when that happens. And I'm not so much talking about that because they're crises that need to be dealt with. I'm more talking about the long list of little grievances that can sort of build up over time that sap the sense of closeness, that sap the sense of love, that sap the strength of that relationship. And you were never taught to keep a list of grievances. You never did a class in primary school, this is how you keep a list of grievances. Each of us has an innate ability to create and maintain and curate and update this list. But there's a second list that we need to get in the habit of creating, maintaining and updating. And that's a list of gratitudes. And the key to sustaining long-term relationships is to make sure that the list of grievances is short and the list of gratitudes is long. Unfortunately, that takes practice. It's not automatic. You actually have to do some list management for that to occur. And in the Bible reading today, Paul gives a great example of a list of gratitudes. Paul had, in the story of his missionary journey, he had moved from modern-day Turkey in response to a vision. He'd moved over to Philippi. He'd had some initial missional success with Lydia and a few other people that had become followers of Jesus. And then he tried to liberate a slave girl that was possessed by a demonic spirit. He did that in the power of Jesus, but her owners hated that. He ended up getting arrested and whipped and chucked into jail, treated unjustly. There was an earthquake. You can read all about it in the book of Acts. And they were basically tossed out of the city and they wandered down the road to the next city, to Thessalonica. And there they enter a synagogue, as was Paul's practice, and he talks to them about the good news about the Messiah, Jesus. And some of them believe. But then some more conflict erupts, and then Paul has to then leave that city as well, and then he goes to the city of Berea, and a similar pattern emerges there, and then he has to go on from there to Athens, and from Athens on to Corinth. And Paul, maybe he was only in Thessalonica for maybe a few weeks, maybe a month at the most, but we know, based on this letter, which was written only maybe a few weeks later after he'd actually visited Thessalonica for the first time, that a relationship of love had been established, even in it by God's sovereign move. And we read Thessalonians chapter 1 because it starts with a big long list of gratitudes. Now, if you read most of the letters in the New Testament, most of them start with, I thank God for you because of X, Y, and Z. It was the structure of letters back then that you didn't just go, Dear David, can you please come and bring the mower over? It was, Dear David, thanks for such and such and such and such, could you please bring the mower over? Right? It was normal practice to do some line of thanks or prayer or blessing before you got into the content of the letter. But in this letter, the thanks goes on and on and on all through the rest of chapter 1. And Paul is recalling how he's so grateful for what's happened in their lives, about how they received Jesus, about how God worked in power, about the reputation of how they followed Jesus now spreading around everywhere. And he's just so delighted with that. In fact, you can go on reading through chapter 2 and chapter 3, and Paul talks about how his relationship was like that with a parent, with a child, and it was loving and it was close and he longed to see them and all those sorts of things. So much so that he organised to write this letter to them. Now, writing letters in those days was not the same as pulling out your phone and firing off a text message this morning, right? Now, if you wanted to send a letter back in those days, first of all, you had to pay someone to come and write it for you, because most people couldn't write. Then you had to find someone else to actually take the letter, because Australia Post didn't exist. Right, so not only did you have to get someone to write the letter for you, you then had to find someone else personally whose job it was to travel however far it was, often on foot, to deliver the letter personally. So letters weren't a low-cost, keep-dash-off-this-note option back in those days. You actually had to be really motivated to send the letter. And Paul here spends a lot of his time with a list of gratitudes. A great example for you and me that if we want to build long-term relationships, we need to build and curate and update and communicate a list of gratitudes on a regular basis. In fact, at the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says this, verse 16, rejoice always, verse 17, pray continually, verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, we've often read that as give thanks to God, and we should do that in all circumstances, but we should also be giving, it doesn't actually specify just God. We should actually be giving thanks in all circumstances. And so we need to have a list of thanks, a list of gratitudes that will help us do that. Here's one tip. When you create a list of grievances, what you normally do is you put down each specific instance when something happened. You forgot to take the rubbish out last week. And you forgot to take the rubbish out the week before. And you forgot to take the rubbish out 4 weeks ago. And back in January last year, you forgot to take the rubbish out. You tend in a list of grievances to make specific entries for specific instances. If we're not careful, the default behaviour on the list of gratitudes is we get sort of lump them all together. Oh, I'm thankful for you taking the rubbish out. And we read it once, or we think about it once, and it only has a small impact. But try this. I thank you for taking rubbish out last week, and the week before, and the week before. And I thank you for taking rubbish out in the middle of winter when it was pouring rain. And I thank you for taking the rubbish out 5 years ago. You just try doing that with something. It could be that, or it could be thank you for the breakfast you made, or the meals you made, or the lifts you gave me to the shops, or when we went to the football together. If you just begin to list all of the times that happened, not just the general category, it'll do something to your sense of gratitude. It'll deepen your gratitude in surprising ways. It'll begin to make your gratitude the size it should be. Because without trying, you make your grievances that size because you remember the individual events. So let's treat our list of gratitude the same. But the second thing is we need to make sure that we're adding to our list of gratitudes in a way that makes sense, in a way that's helpful, in a way that is the positive mirror of the negative thing that we do by default. That's the way that will help get our list of gratitudes to be a long list. But the second thing we need to do is we need to deal with our list of grievances and see if we can make it shorter. And so we just need to be honest about that. That's the first place, is the thing. We don't have to necessarily be brutally honest with our friend and say, sit down, I just need to work through, I'm trying to do some list management, I just need to work through a list of grievances with you right now. Is that okay? Are you up for that? You know, take some painkillers or whatever else it is. It's going to be pretty rough. I'm not talking about sitting down with a person and going through the list of grievances with them. That's what I'm not what I'm saying. What I am saying is internally and personally, and maybe with a third party if you need the help, doing some list management on your list of grievances. And in Colossians chapter 3, Paul gives some advice about this. He says from verse 12, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved," and that's the first point. The best way for us to deal with a list of grievances is to remind ourselves that we are dearly loved by God. Whatever else is going on in our life, however badly particular relationships or even close relationships are going, let's remind ourselves that we are dearly loved by God. That God doesn't hold a list of grievances against us. That God loves us dearly. That'll put us in a much more resourceful place to deal with our own list of grievances. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Because one of the things that sometimes makes it onto our list of grievances is just differences. You know? I like the toilet paper with the toilet paper going on spinning from the outside, and you like it going from the inside. Heaven forbid. I like to have the windows open, you like to have the windows closed. I like to have my wardrobe neatly arranged. You like to sort of just take things off the washing line onto your and put them on. There's just differences that aren't offences, that aren't things that people have done wrong. They're just different, right? And part of what we need to do is we need to make sure that all of those differences are just taken off our list of grievances. No, they're just different. Let's just bear with it. Let's just learn to shape our lives around each other in whatever form the relationship is. It's not a matter of them sinning against you or you sinning against them. It's not about forgiveness in that regard. It's just about learning to live together with people who, you know, people who prefer to have lots of soy sauce on their fried rice and people who hate it. So let's just be aware of some things that are on our list of grievances that are actually just differences. And that's actually part of the rich tapestry of life. And as we learn to live around and engage with each other's differences, our lives become richer in ways we couldn't imagine. Now, very few people go and look at the sort of uniform cement box constructions that were prevalent in the Soviet Union. Because they were efficient and utilitarian, right? But people go and look at buildings that have different shapes and sizes and materials and things like that because the differences are interesting. The differences are an expression of creativity. They're an expression of diversity. They're an expression of people's God-given creativity, if you like. And so they're things that we find actually interesting. And so things that we might have, because they're just different to us and we've put on our list of grievances, we need to transform them into things. Okay, they're different. They're not a grievance. But then sometimes there are things on our list of grievances that are actually things that people have done or not done, said or not said, that we need to resolve. And you're going to be guessing that, David, you're going to say, you just have to forgive them. Just forgive them. And here's the thing, for a bunch of little things, that's probably just the case. Just go and forgive them. Yeah. They left the toilet seat up, just forgive them. Whatever it is. They were 5 minutes late for picking me up, yes, forgive them. But there are other grievances that are actually a bit more serious, aren't they? They're actually things that maybe cut a bit deeper. And what we actually need to be is we need to be really honest about what's happened, you know. They said something untrue about me. It meant I lost that promotion. I don't have as much money to pay my mortgage. That's not a trivial thing, is it? And so if it's not a guess matter to say, you just got to Forgive in the way that it's pretending it never happened. No, we actually have to be honest and say, this is what actually happened, and this is what how it actually impacted me. Because until you really understand and own the depth of the hurt, you're not really forgiving. You're papering it over. And papering over, at some point, usually gets ripped off. And in the next argument or crisis, the thing that you said you've forgiven, what you do is you go back and bring it back out again, right? And remember this time and that time, because you haven't actually removed it from the list of grievances. All you've done is papered it over. And so you need to be honest. Yes, this was bad. It hurt me in X, Y, and Z way. And accept the reality of that. And then you've got to, with God's grace, remember we are holy and dearly loved by God. We can ask God, help me to move to a place of compassion or pity. Now, if it's a really big thing, that might take you some time. And the worst thing we can do for our friends is try and push people through that process faster than they're actually able to go. Because as bad as the impact has been on you, ultimately it's also bad for them that they were the sort of person that caused that impact to have on you, right? So we're not trying to diminish the fact that it was bad for you, but what we are trying to get to a point is where we can begin to feel pity for the fact that they unintentionally or maybe even deliberately were the sort of person that would do such a thing. Because then, because of the forgiveness that God gives us, and we can call on God's grace and cry out to him for that. And we can say, okay, God, I'm not going to hold it against them anymore. That's what forgiveness means. It means I'm not going to bring it up every other week. I'm going to remove it from my list of grievances. Now, some of you might be at the moment right in the middle of a relational conflict where you think, I don't know whether I could possibly get to that point, and I'm not going to try and put pressure on you today for that. Just hang in there. Call out to God. Call for God's grace just to get you through today if you need that. But when you're in a less of a crisis, and when you maybe have a few minutes or days or whatever else, and some clear air, I encourage you, and I encourage all of us, to do some grievance list management. Culling some things off the list. And one of the things that will help give you the resources to do that is to add things to your list of gratitudes. And maybe you find, I don't know that I could add anything to the list of gratitudes for that person just at this moment. Well, that's okay. Find some other person, some other relationship, and add to your list of gratitudes there. You know, that relationship with my long-term friend has really broken down. That's really gutted me. There's lots of things I need to deal with. I can't deal with all of them. But Lord, I thank you for my brother. I thank you for the way he helped me out financially. I thank you, Lord, for the way he's always there for me. I thank you that the time that we went on holidays together. I thank you for the Christmas present he sent me last year. I thank you for... And I'm adding deliberately to a list of gratitudes for another person. Maybe I can end up doing it for that person over there as well in time, but if you can't do it for the particular person, find some other gratitude list and add to that. It'll give you some resources to deal with the grievance that you're actually currently facing. Building long-term relationships. They are a secret. Shouldn't have lent on my iPad then. According to the Harvard study, good relationships are a key to a happy and healthy life. Good relationships are at the core of who God is. Long-term relationships are a reflection of the Trinitarian nature of God. And one simple thing that you and I can do to enhance the health of our relationships is some intentional list management. Shortening the grievance list, lengthening the gratitude list. It'll make a big difference. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that over the coming days, you'll help us find space and time to add to our gratitude lists. Lord, help that to become a habit in our lives. Lord, teach us to be specific in our gratitudes. And Lord, we call on your grace to help us keep our list of grievances short. Lord, to delight in each other's differences and to work through to true forgiveness with your resources. Lord, we particularly pray for your strength and encouragement for each one of us where there's particular relationships that we're finding contentious just at the moment. Lord, reassure us that we are held in your loving, long-term relationship with us. Give us the strength, give us wisdom, give us grace. Encourage us. Amen.